We're here in California for the primary tomorrow as part of our election road trip. This is a state that is almost 40% Latino. There are more Latinos in this state than whites. And the Latino population has helped turn California into a deep blue state. But remember, this was the home state of Republican presidents Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon. So what happened? Well, some political observers will point to a ballot measure that Republicans in this state supported called Prop 187. For the history, we went to Adrian Pantoja, a professor of political studies and Chicano studies at Pitzer College outside of L.A.
Well, the quick story is that in 1994, you had an initiative, a ballot initiative in California, Prop 187, which was described or considered to be anti-immigrant. It was designed to deny public and social services to undocumented persons, persons suspected of being undocumented. That had a chilling effect in California. Now, again, for the record, Prop 187 did in fact pass in 1994. Voters did support it by about 54%, but Latinos overwhelmingly voted against it. And it was that foundation that led to anger, led to a backlash against the Republican Party. And over time, that paved the way for Latinos to become more energized, more politicized. And the short version of the story is that that helped turn California into a solidly blue state. It's not only that that type of rhetoric, the anti-immigrant, anti-minority rhetoric, alienates minority voters, but it also alienates a significant portion of the white electorate. White voters themselves reject those kinds of messages.
And the voters in this state have rejected Republicans since then. The governor is a Democrat. Both senators are Democrats. In fact, there hasn't been a Republican elected statewide in California since 2006. But there was some optimism among California Republicans that the exile was coming to an end until Donald Trump started talking about a border wall and deporting all of the immigrants who are in this country illegally, more than 2 million of whom are thought to be living here in California.
Over three quarters of Latinos rate him unfavorable. And that's some of the highest ratings of unfavorability I've ever seen in my decades of polling Latinos, looking at candidates. So in terms of history, I anticipate Trump will do very poorly among the Latino electorate. And there'll probably be some deep soul searching after this election is done.
Even before this election is done, Rocky Chavez saw the writing on the wall. He's a state assemblyman who planned to run for the Senate seat being vacated by Barbara Boxer, but decided against it.
Part of that decision process we made was Trump, because as I went around the state of California, there's a lot of people that liked me because I'm my background as a Marine, my background as somebody who worked in the fields and worked his way through college. But as I continued on my race, I really picked up a very angry voice in the state. My team looked at it and said, this is not the time to be running the state of California as a Republican.
Reverend Samuel Rodriguez is one Latino in this state that you'd expect to support the Republican candidate for president. He's the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. But listen to what he told us.
This is a surreal year indeed. And right now, neither of the candidates resonate in one way or another. Therefore, I will be restraining from endorsing a presidential candidate this time around.
If it had been Jeb Bush on the Republican side or Marco Rubio, would you have endorsed?
Possibly. Jeb's a personal friend, and Marco, I've worked with him on immigration reform, and I have great affinity for both Jeb. I think Jeb is a man of honor, a man of virtue, and I have great respect for Madam Secretary Clinton. I do. I'm grateful for the video she forwarded to our organization. She was very affable, very kind and generous. I do have a bit of angst. Angst would be an understatement as it pertains to the rhetorical hyperbole and demagoguery coming out of the Donald Trump camp. And I would love to see him do a mea culpa, apologize for the ridiculous statements on the majority of undocumented individuals. These are family and church members of ours. So we know for a fact that the majority of them are not murderers or rapists. They're actually God-fearing, family-loving, hardworking individuals. So, and you know, at the end of the day, Donald Trump talks about inevitably building a wall. Well, he already did. He already built a wall. It's a wall separating him from the Latino American electorate, even from Latinos that have a conservative worldview. And he needs to bring that wall down now and make a bridge and build a bridge. That's going to take some mea culpa, some, you know, going backwards as it pertains to some of the statements, deporting 11 million people, separating families. It's just going to have to be an entire revamping of his narrative regarding immigrants and Latinos in America.
Do you expect him to do that?
Well, I'm a man of faith. No, listen, I don't want to make light of the issue, but I am a man of faith. So stranger things have happened, and I do believe in miracles. Will it take place? I don't know. All kidding aside, I want the Latino community to have a conversation with both parties. I think Donald Trump needs to make amends for what has taken place in the past year in order to have a legitimate conversation with the Hispanic American electorate. If not, it's just going to be a difficult ride in occupying Pennsylvania Avenue. And even if he does, post facto, he has alienated the fastest growing ethnic demographic in America.
Do your members agree with you about that? Do you think that any of them are getting behind Donald Trump?
No, there are. I mean, we do internal surveys. There's still a segment of our constituency that will be supporting Donald Trump because to that constituency, and I kind of resonate with the imperative behind it, though I'm having a difficult time swallowing the proverbial pill, is the Supreme Court. At the end of the day, there's a bit of consternation and fear that we are losing religious liberty in America. And the next president of the United States will have at least 2 to 3 slots to fill as it pertains to the Supreme Court. There's a bit of angst about Secretary Clinton as it pertains to some of the policy platforms. And with Trump, we have no idea about policy. It's exclusively right now the rhetoric, with the exception of the policy regarding building, 11 million people deported in the first 100 days and so forth.
It sounds like there is a real struggle then among your members of whether, if they're part of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, whether they care more about the Hispanic part or the Christian part.
You have stated that in such an articulate manner, and that's why you do what you do. But it speaks to our struggle. So do we vote as Christians first? As we approach November and we're entering the voting booth, are we Christians or are we Latino first? And the question is, which nomenclature, which descriptor guides us above all? What's the primary optic? And my inclination, I will tell you out of my experience, I'm going to go in there voting my Judeo-Christian worldview. And how that plays out at the end of the day, that's between me and the good Lord. But I'm going to go in there voting my Judeo-Christian worldview, which is a love of life, the sanctity of life, religious liberty, addressing the issues of racism in America. And these are some of the ideas and values that drive me as I vote.
What about the argument, though, that Latinos don't care about Latino issues? They care about the economy and jobs just like everybody else.
No. Yeah, I do. That there's truth embedded. But there are some what we call Latino tangential issues that are germane specifically to our community. Educational equality would be one of those. The fact of the matter is I can't deny the fact that there are Latino communities reading Dora the Explorer in high school and respectfully, while our Caucasian white brothers and sisters in the suburbs are reading Geoffrey Chaucer and William Shakespeare. So Latinos find educational equality along with economic vertical mobility as two critical issues. But we have to cross the Jordan of immigration reform. Immigration to us is a personal issue. It's our family members. It's our cousins and second cousins. It's the parishioners and worshipers in our churches. So we take it very personal. And when you bring forth the idea in the first 100 days, you will deport 11 million people. Yeah, sure. Good luck with that, by the way, from a practical standpoint. We take that very personal. So it's not just 2 or 3 issues. There is a number of issues that they coalesce as we enter into that voting booth come November.
Reverend Samuel Rodriguez, the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference, which represents more than 40,000 evangelical congregations around the country. And Donald Trump knows their support would be helpful to his chances. He sent a video for their conference last month saying, quote, "National Hispanic Christian, 3 great words."